Kicking in the second hour here of Living Redefined with Mary J. Blige, and all that I can say, we'd love to know all that you can say. Your comments are coming in fast and furious with regards to the JSC updates. How do you think the interviews are proceeding? What is your take? What would you like to see come out of it? What would you like the final outcome to be? Someone was saying, I would retain Zondo as CJ, then Maya as DCJ to ensure continuity, whilst mentoring Maya to be the next CJ with Madlanga as the next DCJ. Mlambo is close to retirement, just like Zondo. He will have limited time. And someone also saying, let's just check, and there was something else that came out. Okay, I'll have to find it for you again because I'm losing it. But certainly lots of WhatsApps, a lot of SMSs coming in. We'd love to hear from you. You're welcome to WhatsApp us, SMS us, give us a call on 714-2006. So the question we're going into is the story of adoption. And obviously when we talk about adoption, there's legal adoption. We'd like to hear more about informal adoption. How do we look at that? Many, many families have done that when someone in their family has passed and they have then taken on to looking after that child. On the line is Janice Orlovitz. She's an adoption social worker working in private practice, and she's been working in this field for over 30 years to answer your questions. And if you are someone who has in fact adopted a child, and maybe you've got some challenges around it, maybe you are really struggling with it, maybe it's been the greatest joy you can ever find. There is someone I know who adopted a son many years ago, and now he is adult, and every time I look at Daniel I just think, my goodness, what an incredible young man you've grown into. So really, we'd love to hear from you as well. Janice, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Michelle.
Janice, you know, when I started this, I said, you know, we talk about adoption, and obviously we talk about adoption as a legal process. But I imagine that in South Africa, there are many other situations that take place where families simply start to look after a child of a family member, broader family member. Talk to us about the differentiation between that.
Okay, so yes, it does happen very frequently, as you said, and it's considered just family taking care of family. However, what we find is people come to us at a certain point when they hit a brick wall. In other words, they need to apply for an ID book or a birth certificate or register a child for school or do something along those lines, or for marriage or anything that requires guardianship, and then they don't have the right to do that. They are not considered the child's legal guardians, and that's when problems arise. So those are the concerns, and that's why we always suggest that people do things, you know, legally and properly, so that everything is above board and you don't hit that problem and then the child suffers.
So let's talk about what is required. So if I adopt a small baby, maybe 3 months, 4 months, what is the process in order for me to do that? And what am I required to have in order to continue? And how different would that be if it was, for example, a family member's child?
Okay, so adoption, the process consists of a screening process, which is screening and educating. So a social worker will take a couple or an individual along through the process of screening and preparing them for adoption.
Yeah.
So we are required to go quite in-depth because we then use all that information to establish, you know, who these people are and what kind of family they can offer, and to write a report for the court recommending them for adoption. So that process is very important. This leads on to a matching process with a child, which is another whole story. And then obviously the important part is the registration of this union, you can call it, through the Department of Social Development, and obviously through the Children's Court, which is a magistrate's court division in South Africa. And the reason for that is so as to keep records, first of all, of, you know, where our children are going. and that's to combat child trafficking and all the other things that, happen in our world. And it's also to help the child, because then once all those hurdles and hoops have got over, then the court is able to then find the social worker has recommended this couple, family, whatever it may be, and then they issue a legal document placing the child legally in your care. And the whole thing of adoption is that you get a document, the final document says so-and-so is registered to this and this parent as if born to them.
Yeah.
And that is really important for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's important for the child because then they are part of something. They never just, oh, you've got a different surname or you've got a different parent, but we don't know where your parent is. They are part of a unit. They belong. They are equal to every other family member. So that's really, really important. And then obviously it grants it severs the parental rights of the biological parent, and it grants all parental rights and responsibilities to the new parent or parents.
If we talk about that, would be all the technical stuff, and I imagine that for some people that just must be overwhelming to have to deal with. But what about for the child as well? What are the psychological effects of a child being adopted? I could be a child who is adopted and then I say, well, my mom is a different color to me, or my mom has a different type of hair to me, and that's not assuming, my mother could be white or black or whatever the case may be. But the reality is that quite quickly I'm sure I would realize that I'm not of my mom's womb. Or how, at what point do I realize that, and is it quite young?
Okay, so there's a lot of things to unpack in your question. So in terms of when one realizes, it can be at any point. And the question is always asked, when do I tell my child that they're adopted? Yeah. And we as social workers guide our clients to say from the very beginning, even a newborn, a little young child, you talk to them about adoption and you make adoption a really familiar, comfortable word in your vocabulary and in their life, so that it's not this big strange thing that you one day have to sit them down and say, we've got something to tell you, and then it's all the world crumbles. It has to just be a natural thing that you're adopted, we adopted you, we didn't give birth to you, but we love you. It doesn't define the child, but it must be a very natural part of the language, so that when the child has questions, which can happen at any time, and it happens repeatedly through different stages of the child's life, they know that they can approach their parents with anything. Even things like, I wish you weren't my parents, or I would like to know what my biological parents were like. And it won't offend the adoptive parents.
Yeah.
So adoption must be a completely open, transparent, it's all based on trust.
Mm.
Because if I don't tell you something and then you have one belief and I tell you later on in your life, you won't trust anything that I've told you ever.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine how a parent does it. I'm not having had the experience myself, but so it's you say, you were adopted, but I love you. What are the other ways that you can tell your child, the best way to tell your child? I mean, you want to say, yes, I love you, I love you, I love you, but you're still noting that they were adopted and they were given away potentially at birth or whatever the case may be.
Okay, so also there's a lot of questions.
I'm sorry.
But the ways of telling and bringing it into your world, we use a lot of books, especially for little kids.
Yeah.
And books often, unfortunately, there's not a lot of South African-based books. They're coming slowly, but we're a little bit behind in that field. But there's a lot of books that use animals, where the animals look different, but that's the mom and that's the dad and that's the child. And, so you use stories. You can actually, a lot of people have pictures of the biological parent if they're able to, and they just talk it through. true. That there's different terms, and you have to find terms that feel comfortable for you and your family. Like, there's tummy mommy, and there's heart mommy, and there's first mommy. You know, they're not all recommended by us, but people find the terminology that feels comfortable for them. So that becomes like a part, the same way as we tell children how babies are born, and we use proper names and proper terms, and we don't use funny language, and we don't laugh and giggle and act embarrassed. You do the same with adoption. It's just like a fact of life in this particular family. And the child must never feel like they're weird or different, or they've got to keep it a secret or go to school and, you know, not tell anyone and feel like people are talking about them. So, you know, but you asked a very important question as well, among all the millions. But,
sorry.
About the psychological aspects of adoption and the possible responses and feelings that adopted children may have. So there's a huge thing that goes with this. And obviously the first thing is abandonment.
Mm.
That, you know, why wasn't I wanted? You know, why wasn't I good enough? Why didn't my mom and dad or whoever love me enough to keep me and battle through whatever was going on in their lives? There must be something wrong with me. So this is a very deep, deep, deep thing that a child may feel, and it can come out early. It can come out in other ways that you don't even realize is connected to that. It can come out later in life. It creates trust issues. It may manifest in anger issues in the child because they can't quite realize what they're feeling, but they're not comfortable. It can come out in a lot of problems. And attachment is the next big thing in adoption because a child, you know, we know that there's attachment attachment begins in utero, in the womb.
Yeah.
You know, with the baby hearing the mom's voice and the mom feeling the baby kick and the love and the bonding is starting, and then at birth, and then immediately all the moments, you know, the looking into the child's eyes, the skin-on-skin contact, the touching, the holding, the singing, the feeding, the everything.
Yeah.
So when that doesn't happen immediately, and obviously the longer one waits before placing a child, then there can be attachment issues. In South Africa, there's a very, very big focus on the first 1,000 days of a child's life. So that's kind of just before 3.
Yeah.
And they say that if a child is placed kind of within that time or not after that period, you can repair the damaged attachment with a whole lot of things that one can do.
We're talking to Janice. Hold, Janice, let's just put the details out. We're talking to Janice Oralovitz, an adoption social worker working in private practice. And we're looking at the psychological effects of adoption, but really focusing on what it means for both the adopted child, but also the parent who has done the adopting. And maybe you are someone who had to give your child up for adoption, and obviously you would want to speak anonymously, or not necessarily, but perhaps you would want to speak anonymously. And we'd love to hear from you and hear some of the challenges that you may have experienced as someone who was adopted and as you grew up, or as someone who adopted a child, or as I mentioned, someone who had to give their child up. We'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us on 41391, 41391, or WhatsApp us on 0614 104 107, 0614 104 107. Our phone number here is 011 714 2006. Janice, do you think
I just want to comment before? Yeah. Can I just jump in? I'm not picking you out on anything. It's just more a sort of education thing, if you don't mind. You use the terminology giving up or gave up your child.
Yeah.
We try not to use that kind of terminology because that brings up the fact that you weren't wanted. You were given up.
Yeah.
You were discarded. We like to think about it in terms of I placed my child in adoption. I made a conscious decision that for whatever the reasons, and there's a multitude, it would provide a better life for my child, and I wanted more. So I've placed my child lovingly and caringly in adoption. So that's just, you know, one of the little things.
Janice, I mean, we all learn something new every day. I'm sure I would have stuff in journalism that you wouldn't know. So it's very fine. Exactly. It's very fine that you do that. Thank you. Do you ever have to deal with mothers who place their children? And what is the challenge in that particular space as well?
Yeah, no, obviously we do. That's part of it. Look, it's a very challenging part of work because, you know, in South Africa, there's the whole dynamic of what we deal with here.
Yeah.
The poverty, the unemployment, the division of families, so that whole sort of family system where you said before, where the granny and the aunties and everyone would step in, it doesn't exist like it used to. There's also just this crossover into Western culture. So there's a big problem with what is called blesses, which is a whole subject of itself.
Yes, absolutely.
Where the young girls are drawn into this lovely life of material goods by older men, and they wind and dined and given new cell phones and et cetera. And they are encouraged by the men not to use birth control because they say it makes them get fat. And the girls buy into this because the guys are loving and they take them out of their poverty and their struggles, you know. And then when they fall pregnant, the guys generally disappear. I'm generalizing, but it is a phenomenon we see quite regularly.
We do have, Janice, we do have a caller on the line, but we do have to go to the news first, the news headlines. And when we come back, we'll go to our caller and come back to you.
Sure.
2:30.
Michelle Constant on SAFM.
Thanks very much to Luyanda bringing us all the news headlines here on SAFM 104 to 107. We're chatting to Janice Orlovitz. She's an adoption social worker working in private practice and talking about adoption and the challenges of it. We've learned something new. You never talk about someone who gave up their child. That is not appropriate at all, which is very a valuable thing to say. We've got Anonymous on the line from Durban. Anonymous, thank you so much for calling us. What's up?
Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm super well. How are you?
Okay, thank you. Michelle, I've got a story, but that may take longer than 1 minute to explain. But I think that is very, very important because I think there are so many people out there who are experiencing what I have experienced. It's some kind of a life lesson.
Yeah.
So I would like to share with it. Michelle, I met a girl in 2019. I fell in love with her. Things were not well at the beginning, you know. And then maybe 3, 4, 5 months, 2 months, I started to see symptoms of a lady who is pregnant. Okay. And by that time, I wasn't active with her because I don't just rush into being active sexually. That's what I mean with someone that I just met. You understand? But I started seeing those symptoms and I confronted her. She denied it. But, a pregnancy, you can't hide it, you know, because it's going to come out. Your stomach is going to come out eventually. So it came to about the sixth month, she admitted that she is pregnant. Now, I told her that, okay, I thought, because she was young, very young, and I thought that, okay, if I throw this girl out, you know, she's going to go to the streets and there's going to be consequences there. And she also is not from a very good background family. So I told her that, okay, listen, the first thing that you must do first, you go to your mom, tell her that you are pregnant. She also told me that the father made her pregnant and gave her 1,000 rand and told her to go and make an abortion. And he disappeared from the first month up to then. Now, with those conditions, I told her that, okay, I'm going to look after you up until you deliver that baby. I'm going to adopt that baby as my baby, but I want you to do me one thing. Let's search for the father, and if we can't find him, then that's fine. If we find him, then we ask him, is he prepared to play a role in the child's life? You know, then my conscience will be okay. But I gave her money to go. She went and came back and told me that no. The father apparently left Durban. He's in Mpumalanga. They can't find him. Anyway, we went. I supported her up until she delivered.
Yeah.
And I carried on with that child as my own child. I developed a very strong relationship with that baby.
Yeah.
You understand? As my own baby. So I think that people out there who have those strong relationship with children that they have adopted, you know, I don't know, but the feeling that I have. So the downfall is that 4-6 months after the delivery of that baby, the mother started playing around, and finally she went back to the father of that baby.
And he wanted his child back.
Understand? So the pain that I'm feeling right now, you know, in my heart, you understand?
Mm.
And the attachment that I have with that baby, you know, I don't know. I haven't found a counselor, you know, who could help me get over that. You understand?
Yeah.
I keep the relationship with the baby.
Yeah.
I still look after her sometimes, you know, but the mother has taken a distance that I don't know between here and Joburg, you understand, that I don't have a problem. But the problem that I'm having is the baby.
Relationship with the baby.
Because I'm not sure.
I'm going to end it then. I've just got one question and we'll get, maybe Janice can talk to it. Is the baby, did you legally adopt the baby?
No.
Okay.
I hadn't yet.
Yeah.
I hadn't
okay.
yet.
All right.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that, and I'm going to ask Janice to respond to it as well. We do have another voice note. Let's just go to that quickly.
Good afternoon. Adria here from Bloemfontein. Just would like to ask the speaker, Janice, two very brief questions on adoption. The first one is, how long until after the adoption process has been finalized do the biological parents have to revoke any legal documentation? What I mean by that is, I have heard that in the past, biological parents come back and then they say that, you know, they realize that it was a mistake and they would like to have the child back. Can this happen? And then how long after the process has been finalized can they do this? And then the second one, very, very quickly, is how difficult is it to adopt in South Africa?
Janice, let's quickly go to the second question and then we'll go to the first caller, Anonymous in Durban, after that. How the length of time?
The biological parents, the Children's Act, which governs adoption, says that both biological parents have to sign consent for adoption, and that they have 60 days after signing their consent to change their mind. If it happens after the 60 days, then they have to approach the court and then an investigation is opened. It's not automatic that they get the child back.
Okay.
But those 60 days, they still retain, or they can retain, their parental rights.
Yeah.
If they choose to come back and say, no, you know, we've made different plans and we've changed our minds.
Okay.
So that's the first question. After that, they do lose their parental rights. Part of that same question is that if we cannot find a parent, and they've disappeared and we can't locate them, we are obliged to advertise in the local newspaper.
Yeah.
And then we have to wait 90 days. So we have to wait for a 90-day period for them to approach and say, you know, I'm here and this is what I want.
Yeah.
If after 90 days they don't approach, then you can assume that the parental rights are dispensed with.
Okay.
Question
two, how long does it take?
How long does adoption take? No, I think that question. how long does adoption? Okay, adoption is a lengthy process. I always say one needs patience. And it's not a quick process. You can have a child in your care within about 9 months, but to finalize and go through all of that can be about a year.
Okay.
And a little bit more sometimes.
Okay, take us back to the first question, the gentleman that was talking about from Durban, talking about the child that he has been looking after but does not have the legal rights.
Yeah, I just want to quickly go back to the second one. I think the second part of the question, as I heard it, was who can adopt? And the answer is anyone. So our Act doesn't discriminate on anyone based on age, gender, gender identity, relationship, anything. Every case is examined by a social worker to see, what the circumstances are. So that's just to answer that one. The first case, obviously I can have a pain in his voice, and he unfortunately doesn't have the legal rights. And that's what I was saying right at the beginning, is that benefit of a legal adoption as opposed to a friend or family looking after, because that child can be taken away from you and you have nothing and you're left with pain and hurt. So, my response to that would be, he can approach the court and he can explain the circumstances and get a social worker to investigate the relationship and make application for some sort of care and contact with the child.
Yeah.
But he doesn't specifically have legal rights. He's not a guardian or a parent or anything on those lines.
Okay, we're going to go to another question that's just come through.
Hi, I'm an adoptive parent. My son is going on 6. I've got two questions. The one is, at what sort of developmental stage is he in regards to working out what the constellation of parents is that he's had? Biological parents, adoptive parents, his stepmom. He said to me the other day that I'm a second dad, which didn't threaten me at all because I know that I'm his first dad and we have a very good relationship, and he's going to go through various stages of comprehension before he settles on a version of how things actually are. And the second question is, so he obviously has biological parents, then he had the kangaroo mum, who came in between the adoption agency and his current parents. How much information should we be giving him about his adoptive parents, his real parents and the kangaroo mum? I mean, we've been quite open about these things, but at some level I think that it sort of overloads a kid of 6's mind when there are too many parents being described to him, or maybe not. Thanks for your advice.
Janice? Hello, Janice? Okay, Janice, are you there? Right, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll try and get Janice back on the line to answer.
At SAFM Radio and at Mesh Constant on SAFM.
Hi, I'm an adoptive parent. My son is going on 6. I've got two questions. The one is, at what sort of developmental stage is he in regards to working out what the constellation of parents is that he's had, biological parents, adoptive parents, his stepmom. He said to me the other day that I'm a second dad, which didn't threaten me at all because I know that I'm his first dad and we have a very good relationship, and he's going to go through various stages of comprehension before he settles on a version of how things actually are. And the second question is, so he obviously has biological parents, then he had the kangaroo mum, who came in between the adoption agency and his current parents. How much information should we be giving him about his adoptive parents, his real parents and the kangaroo mum? I mean, we've been quite open about these things, but at some level I think that it sort of overloads a kid of 6's mind when there are too many parents being described to him, or maybe not. Thanks for your advice.
Janice, we're hoping that you're back on the line. Janice Orlovitz, adoption social worker. If you could respond to those two questions.
Yes, of course, especially about the call being lost there. So as I have said before, one always needs to be transparent. So the information must be given. But as with any information to children, it has to be age appropriate, and you have to really listen to what they're asking. So the facts are there. The facts, you can put this out, you can draw pictures. You can draw pictures of, you know, the process. There was parents one and two, and then there was kangaroo mum, and then there's the next parent. And you can help him understand on that level. I wouldn't bombard a child with too much information and complexities, because, as you so rightly said, the caller said, this will confuse them. But you have to know, and the child has to know and get a sense from you that you're being completely open and transparent, that they never come back when they're older and say, oh, you never told me this and that, and why didn't you? So you give the information, but you listen to the question as it's asked, and you can clarify, are you asking me this? Instead of giving a whole long story and then they've drifted off and you've lost them. But I would put the information out there, and pictures or books or sketches or little drawings are quite useful. And then he asks as much as he wants to know about it. Sometimes they just look at it and then they go to play. And 3 months later or 3 years later, they come back and they say, do you remember we spoke about that? And then ask more questions, which you can answer. So you need to be able to set a tone of, like, I'm here, I can answer, and I'm going to answer honestly, but I'm going to answer when you want to know and when you're ready.
What is a kangaroo mum?
A kangaroo mum is when the kids generally, when they're premature, but it can be not premature, a mum will hold them and nurse them and be, like, give their skin-on-skin contact. To just help them to develop properly. It is usually premature when they need that more, you know, one-on-one loving kind of contact. So they do develop they can develop a very close connection with the baby, depending how long that goes on for.
Janice, we've also got a question from someone in the Joe in the Val saying, do people take their child or children for adoptions? Can they take their child or children for adoption on the grounds that they can't support them?
Yeah, look, that unfortunately is our circumstances in these times we're living in. And in those cases, it doesn't have to be a black and white case of you abandon your parenting, is what I was going to say, not abandon the child. You can place your child in temporary care. You can place your child in foster care for that reason. And then the social worker would work with you to help you to improve your circumstances, and you can retain a relationship with your child. And then when your circumstances hopefully improve and you are in a better space, in a better situation to take back the care on a full time, you can get your child placed back with you, obviously with social work intervention. So it doesn't have to be like, I'm poor, I can't give you a proper life, and therefore I need to place you in adoption. There are other options. Look, our social work capacity in this country is very overwhelmed and very overloaded, but it exists, and you can find it. So that is another option.
Janice, I'm just checking to see, we have one more message for you just before we close off. Let's do that quickly.
Hi, it's Anonymous here. I held a child before I got married, and my wife the same. Now, we're planning to adopt each other's children. Do we need to get permission from the other parents? Like, I took care of my child since birth, and she did the same. So do I need permission? Does she need permission from the mother in order to adopt my child, whom we are taking care of both, and the mother is not involved in any way? So is the father of her child is not involved in any way. So do I also need permission from the father in order to adopt? Thank you.
Interesting question, Janice. What would you respond to that?
Yeah, the circumstances that the caller is describing, we refer to as step-parent adoption.
Yeah.
And the same laws or processes as any other adoption apply. In other words, the consent and taking them through the screening.
Okay, so they've just got to go through the same process, but what you are saying is they must go through the process.
Erin, if you can't contact them or they're not available, or you can make application to port to dispense with the consent based on the facts of the circumstances of the case.
Okay, we also seem to be having problems with that line as well. Janice Orlovitz, thank you so much for joining us, an adoption social worker. She's working in private practice. Some really interesting questions there, and I must say I've learnt an enormous amount from that as well.